Americans for the Arts.
Yo, this is George Dr. Funkenstein Clinton, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa.
This is Walter L. Smith II and the members of the Fourth Estate from WMNF's Sunday Forum. Join us as we present the film, What is Democracy? What is Democracy is coming at a time of profound political and social crisis. What is Democracy raises critical questions and challenges our establishment and notions of democracy and freedom. The film highlights some of the greatest political thinkers of our time, including Angela Davis and Cornel West. So join us on Thursday, October 24th at 7 p.m. at WMNF Studios at 1210 East Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Get your tickets now for $7. Space is limited. For more information, call 813-238-8001 or go to WMNF.org. This is Walter L. Smith II, and we look forward to seeing you at What is Democracy?
Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we'll hear from seven of the eight candidates running for St. Petersburg City Council. We have audio from a League of Women Voters forum at the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg last week. And I'd like to hear what you think about the candidates. We may have time for phone calls at the end of the show, but the best way to reach us is by email or text. And the email is dj@wmnf.org. The text is 813-433-0885. Please write in your first name and where you are writing from. Before we begin, I want to remind you about last week's show. We spoke with an environmentalist about tonight's Florida Department of Environmental Protection open house public meeting about Mosaic's proposed discharge of wastewater into the Peace River. Mosaic is asking for a renewal permit for its Bartow chemical plant through the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection open house public meeting is today from 4 in the afternoon until 7, and it's at Mulberry Civic Center. That's at 901 Northeast 5th Street in Polk County's Mulberry. Well, now on to today's show. St. Petersburg's municipal general elections are November 5th. The deadline to register to vote is a week from today. That's October 7th. There are four city council seats on the ballot, and all St. Petersburg residents can vote for all four seats. Here's a list of the candidates that are running in the general election. In District 1, it's Robert Blackman versus John Hornbeck. In District 3, it's Orlando Acosta versus Ed Montaneri, the incumbent. In District 5, it's Trinia Cox versus Deborah Figgs Sanders. And in District 7, it's Aquile Cañon versus Lisa Wheeler Bowman, who is the incumbent. And we'll hear from seven of those eight people right now at the forum last week in the evening at USF St. Pete. Ed Montaneri was not there. I assume he was invited. I missed the explanation of why he wasn't there. The forum was moderated by USF St. Pete Professor Judith Ann Scorfield McLaughlin. So you'll hear her voice introduce the candidates throughout the forum. Some of the questions that were put to candidates in just two of the races at a time and some to all of the candidates. And later today, we'll have the video from this forum on our website, WMNF.org/news. And I'd like to thank our volunteer, Blanny Whalen, for videoing the forum. So let's begin. And we'll hear first, we're going to hear the District 1 and 3 candidates answer questions about culture. And then we'll hear the District 5 and 7 candidates talk about sewage in St. Petersburg. So without further ado, here are the seven of the eight St. Pete City Council candidates talking at a forum last week at USF St. Pete.
What is your experience working with citizens from various cultural backgrounds? What approaches have you used to ensure adequate attention is given to the varying needs of these groups?
I'm having difficulty answering that question only because that's pretty much what I've done my entire adult life. I grew up in not the melting pot of New York, but the smelter of New York City. And traveling in Manhattan every day as a teenager to go to school, I went into the Air Force Academy. I went to the Air Force where we had the best from across America come with a singular focus, which was to serve our country. Every race, every creed, every background, every socioeconomic level, all we cared about was doing our best and serving. And that continued for the 20 plus years that I served in uniform. So it was always a focus on how do we work together, how do we cover each other's backs, and how do we move forward and meet the mission. And that's what I bring here to the city as well. Okay, how do we work together and how do we move our city forward? That do we include everybody? Do we consider everything? And do we move ahead?
Thank you.
That was Orlando Acosta.
All right, so again, the question was, what's your experience working with citizens of different backgrounds? So born and raised in St. Petersburg, I'm a proud product of our public school system. I went to St. Pete High. I loved it there. I think we were a great melting pot. Everybody interacted. We got together as one. It's a great experience, the public school system here. So I'm a big fan of that and strengthening them in any way we can. Also, I've lived throughout the city. So I live in District 1 now. That's the district I'd be representing. My family has ties to that. But, hey, before that, I've lived in almost every neighborhood in this city. So when you talk about different backgrounds, the last question I answered, I lived in Midtown. There was plenty of people there who were not from the same background as me, and we had a lot of differences. We got together. We lived as one. I lived in Coquina Key. I've lived downtown. I've done a lot of work in my private career in Northeast St. Pete, also in West St. Pete. So just being among the people and being accessible. And also, you know, last week I had a meeting, a follow-up meeting with a friend of mine. He's been struggling with a drug addiction for over 15 years. We spent 5 hours together talking things through and seeing how he is. I hang out with him a couple times a week, and you got to keep people accountable. So just understanding people, taking the time to listen, and dealing with everybody and treating them as equals.
Thank you. Candidate Hornbeck?
I was a youth development worker for the city of St. Pete, so we worked with kids of all backgrounds. It's a paid position. The summer before that, I was a volunteer. I logged over 250 hours of community service and was awarded the St. Pete Volunteer of the Year Award. I also worked with people from all types of backgrounds when I was coordinator of youth ministry at my church. These kids, their parents weren't members. They'd walk or ride their bike, or I'd pick them up. That's why you see my Youth First initiative is so important, that I want all kids, despite their socioeconomic background, to have access to these programs. We have to take the kids off the street and put them into social and fitness-driven programs.
So now we're turning to District 5 and 7 candidates, and the first candidate to answer this round will be Candidate Kanyon, and this will be a 60-second question. How would you assess the city's efforts to update its sewage and stormwater infrastructure? What, if anything, should we be doing more of?
Well, when we look at the sewage infrastructure and we look at the situation that caused it, and while, you know, the government will say that this was a problem that started long before our mayor, that our mayor had a responsibility to assume to fix, you know, that task of our antiquated sewage infrastructure, and instead he exacerbated it. And it was because of big development dollar signs in his eyes, where he went against the workers and closed down a very critical sewage plant, where the workers were intimidated, harassed, threatened to be fired. They couldn't even, if workers had power, that the workers who carry out the day-to-day work of this city that keep it functioning, we wouldn't have had that problem. That if big dollar signs were not in, you know, the mayor's eyes and this council's eyes, that we wouldn't have had the situation in the first place. And that, you know, resources invested into our sewage infrastructure, obviously very critical, but also a permanent end to the development of luxury condos and apartments that are putting strain on it. And that won't happen when the people that I'm running against are being funded by these same big developers.
Thank you. Candidate Wheeler Bowman.
Thank you. Right now, there is a plan in place. We did have to get a master plan done, which was very important because we had not had one since, I believe, it was 1999. There's no denying that our infrastructure is badly damaged. We have been repairing our pipes, lining them to protect them from INI. We have also started a pilot program for the private laterals. So we are working on it, which it is going to take time. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Cox.
The sewage crisis that the city of St. Petersburg is experiencing demands greater attention. I know there's a $326 million plan to address, you know, the spillage, which was phenomenal in 2016. But what we're finding that even with the tropical rains, we still find continuous sewage spillage in our communities, in our waters. So we're not doing our best job. I think we have to rely a little bit more on a couple of things. Our scientific community. There's a Southeast Regional Planning Council that has looked at this issue of sewage and water quality. They've looked at these systems and they know what works. We have to take advantage of that opportunity in that planning. We also are going to have to expedite our timeline so that we can better address those pipes that need to be replaced. And thirdly, although we're using technology, I think we need to have greater accountability and transparency, and so we might need to have that happen with more timely reports. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Fix Sanders.
Thank you. We are looking at 900 miles of sewage pipes that we need to actually repair. No, it was not the responsibility of this current administration with the condition of our sewage system, but it is the responsibility of this administration to put forth a greater effort to actually repair those. It goes back to no maintenance to low maintenance for years. Two or three mayors prior to this one. However, this is such an absorbent issue that it's not just happening in one section of town. One thing that I do admire that the city actually provides reports of any type of leakage, if any type of water, a sewage, any type of backups that we actually have. And the lateral linkage pilot program is happening in District 5 in Maximum Warnings and the greater Pinellas Point area. I'm hoping that the city will be able to work with the homeowners that do participate in that pilot, because it does affect and contribute to the overall infrastructure system of a city.
Well, that was Deborah Fig Sanders, and she's running against Trinia Cox, who we heard right before that. They're running in District 5. Before that, we heard the two District 7 candidates, the incumbent Lisa Wheeler Bowman and Akili Kenyon. And then before those, we heard they were answering questions about sewage and in the city's sewage issues. And before that, we heard about culture from the District 3 candidates. The District 1 candidates, Robert Blackman and John Hornbeck. And then we started out with the only District 3 candidate who was at this forum, Orlando Acosta. His opponent is Ed Montaneri, who's an incumbent and was not at this forum. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. It's 12:18 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan, and you're listening to Midpoint Monday, and we're bringing you a St. Petersburg City Council Forum at the University of South Florida at St. Petersburg last week. There were about 75 people in attendance. Most of them were students. There were no other AV media, broadcast media at this forum, so this is an exclusive audio presentation, and we'll have the video up on our website later today, wmnf.org. Next, we're going to hear from all the candidates answering several questions. First, we will hear from about the food desert in South St. Petersburg, and then we'll hear a couple of questions that have to do with Tropicana Field and the Tampa Bay Rays. And we will begin, this section will begin with District 7 candidate Akili Kenyon, and she'll be the first person to answer about the food desert. So here's more from the St. Petersburg City Council Forum. And again, you can call in, you can text in your questions or your comments about who you like the best, 813-433-0885.
The existence of food deserts in St. Petersburg is more than a simple inconvenience, as they inhibit access to fresh produce and nutritious food. How can we reduce or eliminate them? And the first to respond to this will be candidate Fig Sanders.
When you think of District 5 and the desert area, the very first place that you think of is on 18th Avenue on 22nd Street, where we started with Walmart and then we started with Sweet Bay, and now there's nothing there. And although the city is making a wonderful effort to bring fresh produce into the community and actually providing the transportation to the residents, that's not going to fix our food desert. The residents that live around those areas, we're having a hard time bringing in anyone that will provide that, because the residents can't afford to actually sustain that type of establishment, that a grocery store, to actually have that happen. One of the things that I think we're going to have to do, and I know that we've seen it happen with the Dollar Generals and the smaller stores actually providing groceries, and that is what we've resolved to, is actually the smaller chains providing that. But I think we're going to have to support our co-op grocery stores to help promote them, and also to help promote the food desert as far as fresh vegetables is concerned.
Thank you. Kennedy Kenyon.
You know, first I want to say, I think it's, you know, really ironic that this is a question, because, you know, while the city government touts itself on being this progressive place where the sun shines on all, we're having this discussion, which literally points out that that is not the case. And that the South Side, in particular the Black community, is living under these horrible conditions. And that putting a Walmart or Sweet Bay, these corporate chains, these people that come, they extract capital from our community and then leave, was not the solution. That genuine economic development in our hands, because before the dome, when there was a gas plant, we had those businesses, we had that produce, we had the things that we needed. Before the destruction of 22nd Street Business District with an interstate, we had those things on that side of the community, on that side of town. So we can reestablish all of those things through reparations and economic development. We can bring the same kind of development that's happening downtown, minus the gentrification, into the South Side. That's what we need to see.
Thank you. Candidate Wheeler Bowman.
Thank you. We're definitely going to have to go with smaller chains, or the grocery co-ops. Over in the South Side, it's not just 18th Avenue, it's also 62nd Avenue South. There hasn't been a grocery store in there for years. So we definitely need to look at the grocery co-ops or the smaller chains to come in there.
Thank you. And candidate Cox.
Yes, thank you. The issue of the food deserts has to be looked at from a number of perspectives. One, you have to have a livable wage so you can actually meet the needs of your family, and as well as your individual needs. So we got to really talk about advocating for that very strongly. Secondly, we're going to have to make sure that those in our communities find themselves being educated and pursuing careers that are meaningful and that are gainful in terms of their outcomes, so that they can meet their needs. Thirdly, we cannot rely on the big chains. We have parcels here in District 5 that have not been totally utilized and developed. They're on 62nd Avenue South, they're on Tangerine. We have to be very diligent about making certain that those opportunities are seized and developed so people can actually have food and opportunities right there. Fifth and fourthly, we have safety net services and we have programs that can help in the interim while those kinds of long-term opportunities are being developed. We have safety net services that are developed and available through the Juvenile Welfare Board, through our faith-based community as well.
Thank you very much. And I saw a wild card from candidate Kornbeck.
Tomorrow we are all going to be speaking at the Chamber of Commerce, Politics, and Popcorn, but I don't want you to go to that. The event I want you to go with is my wife's going to be teaming up with Wendy Wesley to address this issue. What they've been promoting is community-owned grocery co-op. And I did my research on it, and I'll tell you, from all the things that I've studied, that is the most viable way to address this issue. In my opening remarks, I said that this is one of the biggest issues facing Midtown. And my wife sees it as a pediatrician, kids that don't have access to fresh fruit and fresh vegetables, and that have diabetes. We need to address this issue. So when you go home, do your own research, look up Wendy Wesley's work.
So next, we are going to have a lightning round. The first candidate to respond to this lightning round will be candidate Kenyon. And the question, so this is a yes or no answer. Do you support using additional city resources to make it more attractive for the Tampa Bay Rays to stay in St. Pete?
No.
Wheeler Bowman?
No.
And then the Senate candidate Blackman?
Yes.
As long as it is a good investment for the city of St. Pete.
Acosta.
Now, I'll very politely object to the question. This isn't a yes or no question. It depends, and definitely has to be in the best interest of everybody in the city, not just the billionaire, millionaire owners of a baseball team.
Thank you. Candidate Cox?
Yes, with the proper negotiation so that it's a win-win for the community that's, you know, suffered because of their existence, and yes, because they can be an economic engine for the rest of the citizens here.
Thank you. And candidate Fig Sanders.
Yes.
And this next question will be for all the candidates, And we're going to start first with candidate Hornbeck in this round. And this question is, what is your top priority for the redevelopment of Tropicana Field?
If you go onto my website, votehornbeck.com, you'll see that I would like to keep the raise in St. Pete so long as it continues to be a positive financial benefit to the citizens. I'm not going to keep the raise here because I'm a fan. The last study that was done in 2008 said the raise bring in between $100 to $200 million a year. And if they continue to be a positive financial impact, then yes, I'd like to keep the raise. But I don't think that we should keep them on Tropicana Field. That site's tainted. It's not good for baseball. Where we need to move them is to a much smaller stadium. The average attendance of a Rays game is a hair over 15,000. We don't need to build them a 40,000-seat stadium. We need to put them in a retrofit Al Lang Stadium, 20,000 seats, and what that frees up the Tropicana site, the 85 acres, for housing, for maybe a world-class convention center, and also a hub for big businesses to provide not only more jobs, but better jobs.
Thank you. Candidate Acosta.
There's many more ideas for what to do with the 85 acres, and there's time to discuss over here. One of your students, doctoral students, produced a fantastic paper on the history of the site, and it's very eye-opening. And we talk about the community that used to be there and the racism that drove the black community out before we even destroyed it back in the 1980s, going all the way back to the 1930s. It is an open wound in this city and an open wound in our community. And we have an opportunity, regardless of what happens to the Rays, with or without them, to heal that wound, to mend the tear in the fabric of our culture, our society, our economy, that has left a very large part of our city disenfranchised from the success and the gains that the rest has achieved. We have to look at this holistically, and whatever solution were to be presented to me, I'd be looking at how well it gets us along to achieving that ideal of reunifying what is a great city.
Tropicana Field, what a wonderful opportunity for this city to do a couple of things. One, you can connect the downtown vitality to the neighborhoods, and two, it can serve as a healing piece for those communities that were disrupted, you know, for its existence. I think, you know, the investment in Tropicana Field would be an investment in the growth of the city of St. Petersburg. It's in the Innovation District. There's Johns Hopkins Hospital there, and it can be used for internships. And there's also the University of South Florida right here. You can grow your graduate programs there. It could be an incubator for new businesses. It can happen there. We could actually have a hotel there as well as a convention center so that we can be, shall we say, more marketable for national events. And that's how everybody benefits. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity, whether we're talking about scenario one, the HKS architect put on the table to have it there as a stadium with 15, 20 of those acres used for that purpose, and the rest can certainly meet the better needs of the larger community.
Thank you. Candidate Fix-Sanders.
One thing for sure is come 2027, the Rays have the opportunity to leave, whether you want them to or not. And, of course, being a fan, I've seen some really wonderful things that the Rays Foundation has done within our community. As far as those 85 acres are concerned, the very first thing that needs to be addressed is how do you repay for the loss of the communities that were taken away? It's too late to heal. Those families are gone. Those buildings are gone. The businesses are no longer viable. They're not there. So there's no healing that's going to happen there. But you can definitely make it better by paying retribution to those communities and putting it back into the community that was taken away from the Trop. What I would like to see is definitely has to be revenue bearing, a convention center, multi-use, retail shops, but it has to be accessible to all of the residents, not just an extension from downtown, because not a lot of the minority and women-owned businesses can afford to go downtown. So we want to make sure that we keep that opportunity available for those different options that we have, but we definitely need to make sure that we find ways to financially correct the wrong.
Thank you. Candidate Kenyon.
I want those 100 businesses back. I want 300 of those people that had to be put, 300 of those homes that were destroyed, I want those back. I want the 800 people that were pushed out, I want them to come back home. And I want that land, the 85 acres, to go into a reparations land trust where the black community will get to determine what happens on that land, where we can have genuine economic development, genuine affordable housing, where we can create a community that has a vibrant economy contributing to the tax base of the entire city. You know, my opponent in this government has put forth something they call the community benefits agreement, where they say that the black community can get 2% of what developers put there, and that's like somebody stealing $100 from me, then giving me $2 back in restitution. I want the whole thing back. My community deserves that entire community that was destroyed back, that has impacted us today. So we want to see that 85 acres of land as a form of reparations. So when someone asks me how does reparations happen, we say reparations looks like the 85 acres of land back to the black community.
Thank you. Candidate Willer Bowman.
Thank you. I just want to be clear about one thing. The city, I have been in talks about a community benefit agreement, and no percentage has been determined as of yet. My family was pushed out because of the TROP. Several families were. And what I want to see there as a top priority is affordable housing. I want to make it a place for everyone. I don't want anyone to be priced out. I want it to be a place where it brings jobs. And it also for small businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Blackman.
So the question was, what's the top priority for the redevelopment of the TROP? Well, my two TROP priorities are that it would be successful and inclusive. So how do we do this? Well, you know, as far as the Rays staying there going, there's a lot of fatigue there. That wasn't the question. We have to remember that the Rays are a independent business, right? So we can't mandate what site they go to if they stay. We can talk with them, but we can't mandate. So regardless of whether or not they stay, what I'd like to see done is I'd like to see, first of all, it made inclusive so that everybody in the community can benefit and use it. But also I want to see it reintegrated with the rest of the city. Currently, that site is just a atom bomb that was dropped in the middle of our city. It did wipe the gas plant district off the map, but it also broke our city into two big, you know, segments between downtown and midtown. I used to live in midtown, walking and biking past there. It's unsafe. It's weird. There's no connectivity. So I want to see Booker Creek cleaned up and strengthened. I want to see hotels put there. We could also put businesses. We can have headquarters, office space, which is desperately needed. And on the back end, we can put workforce housing as well as commercial corridor down 16th Street to really tie the neighborhoods together. Thank you.
Thank you. This next round will be a lightning round, and we really want to keep it to yes or no answers. The first candidate to respond to this round will be candidate Cox. And the question is, do you believe the state legislature has overstepped its boundary in its preemption of home rule, yes or no? Candidate Cox.
Yes.
Candidate Fig Sanders.
Yes.
Kenyon.
Yes.
Wheeler Bowman.
Yes.
And back to candidate Blackman.
Yes.
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 Well, those were all seven of the candidates who were present at the St. Peter's, USF St. Pete candidate forum last week, and they were all saying that the Florida legislature has overstepped its bounds when it comes to home rule for cities and counties. And they also talked a lot about the Tampa Bay Rays and the Tropicana Field area and what should happen there. We also heard some of the candidates talking about the whether the TROP should be redeveloped and how that should be redeveloped. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint at 12:34 in the afternoon on 88.5. And this is a candidate forum that happened last week at the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg campus. It's being moderated by Judith Ann Scorefield McLaughlin, whose name you'll hear, and she's introducing the candidates as we go. And the election is November 5th. All St. Petersburg registered voters will be able to vote for all four of these seats. And the four city council seats on the ballot are up for grabs, four of these seats, of the seven seats. And there's another city council primary election candidate forum. It's only for districts 3, 5, and 7. It's moderated by the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area. It's at the Sunshine Center Auditorium. That's 330 5th Street North from 6:30 this evening until 8, and doors open at 6 o'clock. So that's at the Sunshine Center Auditorium tonight in downtown St. Petersburg. If you'd like to go and see three of the races, the candidates for three of the races. Well, let's head back to more of this the forum that was last week. And in this section, the candidates will answer questions about where they got their campaign contributions. They'll also answer questions about sustainability and about how to improve health outcomes for the city of St. Petersburg residents. And I just want to remind you that our fundraiser begins Wednesday. So if you like what you hear on Midpoint, if you enjoy these forums and the conversations we have and the interviews that we have, I hope that you'll call in your support next Monday, or you can donate right now at WMNF.org. If you throw some money in the tip jar there, I can thank you by the end of the show, or you can remain anonymous. It's your choice. But I sure hope that you support all the great programming on WMNF, especially here on WMNF's Midpoint Monday. Well, let's hear from the candidates. I'm going to read all the candidate names right now. In District 1, Robert Blackman and John Hornbeck. District 3, Orlando Acosta and the incumbent Ed Montaneri, who is not at this forum. District 5, Trinia Cox and Deborah Figg Sanders. And in District 7, Akili Canyon and Lisa Wheeler Bowman, the incumbent. So we'll hear from all seven of them right now.
Again, this will be a yes or no response. The first candidate to answer will be candidate Figg Sanders. Do you accept campaign contributions from big luxury apartment real estate developers?
I'm endorsed by the Pinellas Realtors Organization.
Okay. So just a yes or no answer about campaign contributions from real estate developers.
No.
And candidate Wheeler Bowman.
I have accepted money from real estate developers.
Okay, thank you. Candidate Blackman.
I would say I've accepted money from real estate developers, but big luxury seems an interesting way to put it. I'm not sure.
Candidate Hornbeck? Yes.
No, I've accepted no money from real estate developers or construction firms.
Candidate Acosta?
No.
And candidate Cox?
I've accepted funds from those who support my leadership, and the wealth level, I don't know.
Okay,
they would include real estate as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This next question is for District 1 and District 3 candidates. St. Petersburg was recognized as Florida's first green city and has established an Office of Sustainability and Resiliency to deliver progressive, sustainable policies. What actions, if any, should the city be taking to offset or reduce potential burdens placed on businesses and homeowners as a result of those policies? And the first to respond will be candidate Blackman with a 60-second response.
So the question is, what action do we take to offset the burden of sustainability?
Yes, if we should.
Oh, if we should.
If we should, and what would we do to offset the burdens?
Well, I think in general, we want a more sustainable city, right? I mean, I think we need a more sustainable world. There was an article, and I don't remember the publication, a few years ago saying that St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay was one of the top most vulnerable areas to climate change. We are literally, like it or not, bounded by water. If the water starts rising, there's going to be a problem. So I think that we do need to take this very seriously. Environment first, because without the environment, we've got nothing. Frankly, I think we should do as much as we possibly can, be the, you know, cheap and cost-effective measures, such as, like I said, oyster bed plantings and seagrass beds, or, you know, the low-flow toilet program. So I think that which you got a rebate for. So we can give rebates towards people if they do the right thing and incentivize it. And that's how I would try and mitigate any impacts. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Hornbeck.
When you get a chance, go home and look up St. Pete's ISAP, Integrated Sustainability Action Plan. I think we're doing a lot of good work there. There's this misconception that going green is expensive. Actually, in most cases, it's a positive financial decision. And here's just an example of it, right? So you can't talk about the environment without talking about what is happening in our bays. Now, if you live in Michigan and you're thinking about going to, let's say, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, or St. Pete, Florida, but you've been seeing on the news that St. Petersburg, Florida has been dumping sewage and we have flesh-eating bacteria, where are you going to decide to go and spend your tourist dollars? So going green can be a very much a positive financial decision.
Thank you. And Candidate Acosta.
I'm again going to politely object to the question. A burden is something you don't want to carry. It's a burden is something you want to get rid of. Now, we are a green city because we want to be a green city. There are benefits to it, to our livelihoods, to our lives, to our health, to our well-being, to our economy. And all those benefits have been well codified and experienced, not just by us, but by many cities, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. We hold the highest population concentration in cities around the world. What we do matters. It impacts not just our immediate environment, but impacts the world's environment. So I don't think the question is about burdens, and I completely object to that. Okay, well, I think the question is, how do we make it fair? Okay, everything we talk about here is, how do we make it fair for everybody in the city, not just businesses, but everyone who lives here, who works here, who plays here? And that's something that requires strong leadership, and leadership that sometimes has to make a tough, unpopular call.
Thank you. Any wild cards on this round? Okay. So this next question will go to our District 5 and 7 candidates, and the first to answer this round will be candidate Wheeler Bowman. Yes, the questions that we're asking tonight are those that have come from students before the forum, as well as from you tonight. So thank you very much for your questions. So this question now is for Districts 5 and 7, and the first to answer will be candidate Wheeler Bowman. How would you propose improving health outcomes for the residents of St. Petersburg?
That's a great question. I supported Medicare for All. We had a resolution that was brought forth, and I was one of the ones that supported that. And I believe that everyone should be able to access and have better health care. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Cox.
The issue of health outcomes for the city of St. Petersburg is a very critical question, because one, we rank pretty highly. I think we are like second in the state in terms of infant mortality. That's a big issue for us. Pregnancy rates are going down, but they're still overly represented in terms of Hispanic and African American girls. That's a concern. For sure. We still have issues that deal with, you know, with diabetes and overrepresentation in terms of the African American community. So one of the first things we're going to have to do is educate people on those issues, because so much needs to happen when you can take a look at what informs our health choices and our health accessibility. And it has to do with the social determinants of health. One is education, one is location, location, location. If you're in an environment when the behavior is such that your lifestyle choices are negative, and we can see that in terms of your life outcomes, in terms of infant mortality, in terms of early deaths, even going as far as looking at the crime area as well.
Thank you. Candidate Fig Sanders.
This question ties with the food desert and accessibility and livable wages, because ironically, some of the lower income families have the worst health because of accessibility, because their diet relies more on fast food instead of prepped meals. I think education, with working with our families, we've actually had a program at the YMCA where we actually taught families healthy cooking, and we started it at the early ages of teaching our elementary students how to eat healthy. Then you have, again, I also supported Medicare for All, to be able to, every resident should have access to health care. Fortunately, there are those of us that have jobs that we pay those high premiums to have the medical care, but they're limited as to what you can cost. The co-payments have gone up, and most people use the emergency room for health care. We need to find options and support those nonprofits that actually promote healthy living amongst all of our residents.
Thank you. Candidate Kanan.
So, you know, to really get down to the root of this problem, I think it's really important to understand that poverty impacts health and wellness, and that's just the bottom line. And when we have a thriving economy, when people are able to feed, clothe, and house themselves, when we can support community-based initiatives that are, you know, catered towards, you know, making sure the health and wellness of the community is at its peak, then we can begin to solve these problems. And I'm actually really proud of a particular endorsement that I have from a woman named Courtney West, who's a black woman here, who owns this thing called the Perinatal Safe Space, which she created some dollars out of her own pocket to deal with the infant mortality rate and the disparity that it places on black women. And that there are community-based initiatives out there that we can support, that the genius is in our communities, that we can solve our problems, that they just have to be supported. And And, you know, these are the types of initiatives. And again, eliminating poverty is the way that we make sure that everybody has access to adequate health care.
Well, that's Akile Kenyon, who is running for District 7 in St. Petersburg. Her opponent is Lisa Wheeler-Bowman, the incumbent, who we also heard from earlier. We heard from Trinia Cox and Deborah Figg Sanders, who are running for District 5. We also heard from Orlando Acosta, running in District 3. And in District 1, we heard Robert Blackman and John Hornbeck. These seven candidates were all speaking last week at the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg, at a candidate forum that was moderated by Professor Judith Ann Scarfield-McLaughlin. And the election is November 5th. There are four city council seats on the ballot. All St. Pete residents can vote for all four seats. We're going to hear next from them. They were asked how they can get youth involved in voting because there were about 75 people in the audience here, and most of them seemed to be USF St. Pete students. Some of them were getting class credit for going to the forum. And so how to get people, youth, involved in voting is the next question. So let's hear from the seven candidates here for St. Petersburg City Council elections answering that question.
This time we will start with candidate Kenyon. And this one is about youth voting. How would you encourage students at USFSP and elsewhere to vote and engage them with local government?
Well, I want to point out that I'm 22 years old. I'll be 23 next month. And, you know, that my whole campaign has been about going out into the community, you know, really knocking on doors and talking to the people. And that, you know, I want to be able to do that here, be able to bring everybody who is here, register to vote if you have not already. This is one of the most important elections, I think, that you can participate in, because we're talking about the future of our city, which can really be the, you know, the stepping stone for what we can do out in the world. So I would encourage everybody to register to vote if you have not already and vote in this election.
Thank you. Candidate Wheeler-Bowman.
Thank you. Since I have been here, I've been so impressed with Naya. And his, you know, go to all. And I mean, we have to encourage the youth to vote because you are our future. It is an important election. Local elections are important, not just presidential races. And we happen to have the lowest turnout with the local elections. And so I would just encourage the youth to get involved, register to vote, but not only register, go to the polls and actually vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Blackman.
So how would I encourage students to vote? First of all, you know, students are a social population, so it's a good way to message because it's word of mouth is a big advertising factor. I'm young myself. I'm 30. So I would try and say, hey, look, it's not that many years off that you could be running yourself. And other than that, I just want to remind everybody that literally city council is supposed to be your conduit to government. So it's supposed to be the local home rule form of government in which you can literally message with your representatives and get things done.
Thank you, Candidate Hornbeck.
I told Judith Ann, it was really amazing to step on campus and see the activity. We didn't have this when I graduated from 2006. People showed up, they went to class and then left. So it's really good to see everybody engaged. One of the great things Facebook's doing this year, I don't know if they've done in years past, is sharing that you're registered to vote. Brag about it. Be happy. Be wear that I voted like a badge of honor.
I'd say vote if you're going to vote for me. Otherwise, I think the most important thing you ought to do right now is lead and follow. Right? Lead if you have that passion and you're willing to take on that mantle of leadership in whatever endeavor it may be. Follow if you just can't lead or that's not quite ready, join someone who's leading and wants to get somewhere. You gain the experience, you gain those social skills, you gain those political skills, you gain those management skills, and then bear fruit later on when you're in a better position to do even more for your society.
Thank you. Kennedy Cox.
Voting is very, very important. And as African American, I can tell you how significant it is because it came with a price for us. Blood, sweat, and tears. And it's still an issue because there's voter suppression issues that are still going on throughout this country. But that's your power. That's your vote. And local elections are important all the way up to national elections. And civic engagement is so important because you can shape the world. You can make it better. If that's your passion, whatever that is, use your vote to get the policy that you need in place. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Vic Sanders.
So I guess student government was just in my life, because in high school, I was on student government every grade. And as a parent, I made it very vital and important to my children that every time I went to vote, they were there in those polls with me. And I always explained to them the importance of my vote and why what they feel and their feedback, how it matters and how their vote will shape the world that they're going to live in. So it's educating our young people and it's encouraging our young people. And we appreciate you, because I'm going to depend on you as I get older. So we want you to vote, and we definitely want you to be aware of the issues.
That's Deborah Figg Sanders, one of the candidates for District 5 in St. Petersburg City Council. We heard from her opponent earlier, Trinia Cox. And there are four city council seats on the ballot. All St. Pete residents can vote for all seats. We also heard from Akili Canyon, Lisa Wheeler-Bowman, the incumbent. They're running against each other for District 7. Orlando Acosta is running in District 3 against the incumbent, Ed Montaneri, who we did not hear from. He was not at this forum. And in District 1, Robert Blackman is running against John Hornbeck. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:51 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. We're going to hear closing statements in just a second from all seven of these candidates. But before we do, I want to read what Nick wrote in, because I'd like to hear what you think about these candidates. Probably the best way is to text or email. The text is 813-433-0885. You can email dj@wmnf.org as well. And Nick writes, hello, Sean. I feel these candidates missed a crucial connection. They talked about the food desert problem and then talked about the problem with the Rays Stadium. In my opinion, using that 85 acres for a community garden or local agriculture area, even retrofitting the stadium to be a greenhouse would be the best use of that land. It would give back to the displaced community in the best way possible, healthy food. I think this step would also put St. Pete on the map for green innovation. How do I get this idea to important ears is what Nick asks by text. He texted 813-433-0885. Well, we only have about 10 minutes left in the show, so let me get to the closing statements from all seven of the candidates for St. Petersburg City Council who were at the forum at USF St. Pete last week.
Thank you so much. Number one, first of all, I think it's important that you get a chance to know me a little bit. I'm a native of St. Petersburg, Florida.
This is Trinia Cox.
I'm a graduate of Gibbs High School. I have a master's in sociology. I have worked 40 years in four career areas. We're talking child welfare, juvenile justice, public administration, as well as education. Part of that is I work for the City of St. Petersburg and Mayor Fisher. I ran his neighborhood conservation program. I was responsible for his rental inspection program. I ran his convenience store safety ordinance program. And what I'm most proud of is I ran his minority business enterprise program. And before leaving the city and transitioning to the Juvenile Welfare Board, contracts to African Americans were 8% and to women and Hispanics 7%. I have been awarded State of the Florida Faith-Based Community-Based Advisory Council. I chair that. We provide recommendations to the Office of the Governor, looking at what's best for strengthening families. I want the opportunity to put all that resources and experience to work for you as your next City of St. Petersburg City Council person. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Hornbeck.
As I stated before, I freely admit that my opponent knows more politicians than I do. The two that you would like to know is the persons whose seat we're vying for, Charlie Gerdes, endorsed me as the better candidate. The mayor recently stated his support for that endorsement. When you go home, I want you to do three things. First, I want you to go to votehornbeck.com and look up what I've said. The second thing I want you to do is look up Wendy Wesley and her work with addressing the food desert by the grocery, the community-owned grocery co-op. And the third thing I want you to do is just remember that John Hornbeck, you might not agree with everything I said here today, but understand that I'm the guy that really cares about the youth, and a vote for me is a vote for our youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Blackman.
Robert Blackman, running for St. Pete City Council, District 1. Born and raised in St. Pete, went to St. Pete High. There's been a lot of talking on the stage today by me, my opponent. I'm the person who's about action. So we talked about the Midtown food desert. I lived in Midtown. It impacted me. I know this firsthand. We've been talking about the Rays. I met with Rays ownership yesterday. We've been talking about affordable housing. I've spent my entire career working towards affordable housing. and literally been working on a plan with a friend of mine right now to try and fix it. We're talking about the environment. I spend my weekends cleaning up the environment by picking up trash out of our waters. Gotten over 700 truckloads in the past 4 or 5 years. I've been endorsed by the councilwoman for the district you're sitting in right now, Gina Driscoll, as well as 3 other sitting council members. Now, these council members, these 4 council members, Gina Driscoll, Darden Rice, Ed Montaneri, and Brandy Gabbert, they would be working with me if I'm elected. And they would like to work with me because they know that I'm the most ready person to take over this seat and get things done day one. Robert Blackman, thank you very much.
Thank you. Candidate Acosta.
Thank you very much. You've heard a little bit of my background already. I chose to run because I think you all deserve to have a choice. And I offer you as an individual that shares the values that most of you have and shares the interests and desires that most, not all of you have for our city. I've had to prove my mettle and prove my leadership to against high standards time and time again. And I'm prepared to meet your high standards if elected into office. We need leadership, and I offer the leadership to take the city forward, mend its wounds, bring everybody together, and bring to you the experience I've had, not just in growing up, but also serving in the blended, mixed, melting pot of our U.S. military and what I've done so far over here for St. Pete. So Orlando Acosta, District 3, thank you very much.
Thank you. Candidate Vic Sanders.
So USF St. Petersburg, yes, you will shine as I commit to work shoulder to shoulder to build a better world. You deserve an elected official that has been and will continue to focus on the growth and prosperity of all through out-of-the-box thinking and an innovative approach, one who will serve with integrity. I appreciate the brilliance of young minds and the creativity of your academic excellence to keep our city beautiful where all can live, work, and play. You have an important decision to make, which is why I encourage you to continue to do your research with candidates. I also ask you to join the National Organization of Women, Pinellas Realtors Organization, the West Central Florida Labor Council, Sierra Club, SEIU, Mayor Richard Christman, and 3 incumbent council members, Gabbert Foster and Willen Bowman, just to name a few who have witnessed the impact of my commitment and passion for our community. Please vote. Deborah Figgs Sanders, St. Petersburg City Council, District 5, FiggsSanders.com for your next council member. Thank you.
Thank you. Candidate Willer Bowman.
Thank you. My name is Lisa Willer Bowman, and I am the current council member for District 7. And I'm running for re-election because I love this job, and I want to continue to keep making sure that our city is a place that truly works for everyone. Before I ran for council in 2015, I had been leading and serving in my community for a long time. I was president of my neighborhood association and the first Black president of the Council of Neighborhood Associations for our city. As a member of council, I have continued this leadership on issues that matter to all of us. Because of my leadership, I was elected vice chair during my second year on council and chair during my third year by my colleagues. Our district and our city needs a strong leader who will do the right thing. We need a leader who will continue to move our city forward, and we need a leader who is looking out for all of us. I have been endorsed by Mayor Christman, my council members, several of my council members, Gerdes, Gabbert, Foster, Montaneri, Rice, Driscoll, Commissioner Ken Welch, School Board Member Renee Flowers, the PBA, the Firefighters, SEIU, West Central Florida Labor Council, Sierra Club, Pinellas Now, Pinellas Realtors Organization, and recommended by the Tampa Bay Times.
Thank you.
I would be honored to have your vote November 5th. Thank you.
Thank you. And candidate Kenyon.
My name is Aretha Kile Kenyon for District 7 City Council, running on a platform of reparations and economic development to the Black community, which is a bold new vision that I know majority of the people in this room are in search for. That me listing out a name of endorsers of the status quo from the status quo should not be the basis for why you trust me to carry out the will of the people. That it's, I'm bold and unafraid to put out this platform to call out what needs to be called out. I'm not willing to go along with the go along. I'm not bought. I think that it's really important to understand that when real estate developers and all these people are funding your campaign, that now big money is controlling our politics. Big money is now in control of our future. And we're saying we are not going to have it. That the youth, that the working people of this city are going to rise up in this social movement, and we are going to contest this system that continues to step on the backs of the people every single day in the name of progress, in the name of development. That if it's not happening for everyone, then it shouldn't be happening, because it's happening as a consequence of somebody else being spat on, being exploited, and that's my community. I'm fighting for my community, and by virtue of that, I'm fighting for you. Aretha Keeley Canyon for District 7 City Council. Thank you.
That's Aretha Keeley Canyon, and her opponent is Lisa Wheeler Bowman. We also heard from Trina Cox and Deborah Fig Sanders. Orlando Acosta and Ed Montaneri are running in District 3. Robert Blackman and John Hornbeck are in District 1. Thanks to Diane, who wrote in, the gas plant in Trop area is forever polluted. So thank you for that comment. If you'd like to leave me a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play this message after our fundraiser drive. It begins Wednesday, so if you like what you hear on Midpoint, I hope you call in your support next Monday or donate at WMNF.org. Thanks to Blanny Whalen, Patty Perky, and Alvaro Montealegre. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Stay tuned now for Latino 54. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening.